This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Grelot. Well, Joshua Landis, here we are back in Istanbul after nearly 3 weeks journeying around the country. We've seen an awful lot. We're in the old city center near the Grand Bazaar, the Blue Mosque, the Hagia Sophia, but we're also not too far away from Taksim Square, where protests began last week. Boy, what can change, you know, in a week since we last spoke? Much has changed in Turkey in the sense that these protests broke out over a particular issue, over a park, actually, over an actual demolition of some trees and the building of a shopping center. And they grew and they spread, and now they've spread around the country. And we've seen several days of protests and a violence, kind of heavy-handed response from the police. What is behind all of this here in Turkey?
Well, you're absolutely right. That original issue, which was green space in the middle of the city that the prime minister and his buddies around him wanted to build a big mall and destroy this. So environmentalists started it, but very quickly, political parties and opposition parties joined in. But much more than that, lots of middle-class people, and particularly young students, began to crowd into the squares. And we saw these demonstrations pop up in almost every major city up and down the Mediterranean coast. There are a number of reasons pushing this. First of all, is a growing sense of corruption around the political leadership of Erdogan. And he has been in power now since 2002. So there is this clique of developers, and the building boom in this country is phenomenal. You see cranes everywhere. So there is a sort of bubble, a construction bubble. But more than that, there's a sense that this democratic transition that Erdogan has taken the country through, attacking the military, attacking the judiciary, getting rid of the old Kemalist elite, is now headed to potentially a new authoritarianism. He's begun to act as an Ottoman sultan, rather high-handed, and people are worried. And so almost everybody we've spoken to on this trip has said this is an important marker. The people need to push back, and we need to confirm that this is a democratic system.
Well, many of the people that we've talked to since we've been here have been referring to Erdogan and his government as kind of these authoritarian neoliberals. Right, that they are capitalists. They're all about money and making money. And clearly, I mean, this is a country that's making money and spending money, and they're beautifying their country and they're building things, as you mentioned, but that they're doing so in kind of a very heavy-handed way from a very kind of top-down approach. And so are these people in the streets, even though it began because of an environmental issue, are these people in the streets now like really rejecting? Are these the people that are anti-Erdogan, you know, anti-authoritarianism? I mean, are they the ones that are the least privileged that are out there? Or is this a secular Islamist movement that we're seeing, a secularist versus Islamist movement? Or is it both?
It is both. But the secularists were pushed out. The Kemalists who built the country want...
And when you say Kemalists, those that were following kind of Ataturk's history and legacy.
Mustafa Kemal, named Ataturk, was a George Washington of this country, and he laid down six basic principles, and westernization, secularism, the republic, and nationalism were at the heart of these principles. He repressed religion. This new religious party, which is very Islam-light, many people think, but people worry. You hear people here say, they're Khomeini. This is going to be like Iran. Give them an inch, they'll take a mile, and they'll have the women all dressed in hijabs and so forth.
And that's because they've done things like they've put limits on being able to consume alcohol. They've changed the national drink from an alcoholic beverage to a yogurt-based beverage. They've said you can't drink alcohol after 10 p.m. They've done a lot of conservative things that are worrying those that are secular in nature.
They have. And they've surrounded themselves with people from the center of the state who are Muslims. And they've gone back to the Ottoman history, which Ataturk had rejected. They're naming things after the sultans. They're looking east. They're getting involved in the Arab world, the Syria adventure. So people are worried that this government is taking Turkey away from Europe towards the Islamic Middle East. And that worries about half of Turks deeply. But the opposition here is divided. It's fragmented, and you can see it in the demonstrations. There's not one leader. And I think many middle-class people here are beginning to get tired of it. The merchants don't like it. It's going to scare away tourists. And this country is all about development and moving forward. They don't want too much disruption.
So lastly then, Joshua, I mean, some people have gone so far as to suggest this is a Turkish spring, like we saw, you know, in the Arab world, that the Arab spring is now being followed by this Turkish spring. Is it really going to go that far? I mean, we see, I think just in our time here, the protests flare up, but they're starting to kind of die down. I mean, the sense that, you know, they are concerned about the future of Turkey economically and that this is not really the way forward.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. This is not anything to do with the Arab Spring. This is a hiccup on the road towards greater democracy, I think most people here believe. This is not an authoritarian government. It's not a dictatorship. It's been elected by a majority of the people twice in what are considered free elections.
But a small majority, right? I mean, he has a very small majority. Is that the main issue here?
50%. I mean,
but just barely.
A majority than most American presidents ever get. So, and this is a parliamentary system where you have lots of little parties. So for one party to get over 50% is unusual. It's not a two-party system like the United States. So this is a big centrist party. He's used religion. He has brought the Kurds in. He's been very smart, sort of like the Clinton or the Reagan, you know, revolutions in America, where he reached out and he's brought in a big middle class. And undoing that and attacking him is going to be very difficult for the opposition, which is fragmented. So people are a little resentful, but they don't know how to break apart that coalition that he has really skillfully knitted together.
Well, he'll have to continue to skillfully manage this. I mean, he's really kind of shrugged his shoulders a bit at the events of the last few days.
He said these guys are thugs, that this is the wrong thing. Now, his president, Gül, who's from his same party, has said, we've heard the message. This is a democracy. We want to listen to you. So they've a lot of contradictory statements. Erdogan has been the bad cop, saying we're going to crush this and I can bring out tons more people than these 100,000 demonstrators represent. And you've had the president who's taken the soft side. We hear you. We're going to make changes, so forth. So it seems to be a vibrant democracy that's all about capitalism and growing, and they do not want political violence.
Well, with the millions of tourists that come here every year and the amount of money that they bring into this country, any kind of instability and unrest is certainly going to be a huge blow to them. So, well, thank you, Joshua Landis, for your insight. It's been very interesting to see the developments here in Turkey. What a wonderful country, but also one that's very interesting in terms of its political and economic development.
This is an important moment, an important moment.
So next week, we move on to another country. So off to away from Turkey and off to the Middle East. So thank you, Joshua Landis.
Great to be with you.